As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. And we are back.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, well, yeah, sort of, right? We finished up season 4 of Rocket Ship, and while season 5 won't kick off for a little while, that doesn't mean that we've gone silent.
No, we definitely have not gone silent. In fact, we have all sorts of interesting stuff that we're working on and will be releasing between season 4 and season 5. We've got individual interviews we've done with product leaders, and we also have a mini series here and there on topics that we think you'll be interested in.
Yeah. In fact, I think that's why we're here today.
It most certainly is. Now, you remember the episodes that we released this past season with Bob Mesta, where he helped my company, Product Collective, and our conference industry on really just understanding our attendees better, right?
Of course. Those are actually some of the most talked about episodes of the past season.
Yes. Well, because of that, I know we figured we could go a little bit deeper. In those episodes, we released clips of real jobs to be done interview that Bob did in our behalf. And I had myself on mute. I was taking tons of notes.
Right. But we probably released what, like 15 minutes of the total clips? I know that interview itself was over an hour long.
That's right. And we thought it'd be helpful if everybody could just hear that full interview in all of its glory. You know, sometimes to get better at jobs to be done and feel more comfortable conducting a true jobs to be done interview, at least for me, it just helps to hear one from beginning to end. So what we thought we could do is actually open up the veil a little bit and release that full interview that Bob did with one of our attendees.
For those of you who have always wanted to sit next to somebody like Bob Mesta as he conducts one of these interviews and learn from the person who helped create the jobs to be done concept itself, I think you're going to love this one. Welcome to Rocketship.fm. In season 4 of Rocketship, we are diving into everything product and growth. Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca
and Mike Belsito.
Okay, so this full jobs to be done interview that Bob helped you with, it's a bit long. It's like over an hour. I think we should play half of the interview now, and then we'll follow up and play the second half in the next episode.
I think that sounds great. And after that, my partner, Paul, and I, we could chat about what we actually took away from the interview. Because believe it or not, that single interview that Bob did with us in the very beginning, it's actually already helped us make changes within our conference.
Oh, yeah? And you're already seeing good results.
Yes. And in fact, I have a pretty funny story to tell you related to that, but not yet. First, let's get to the actual interview itself.
All right. So with that, here is the first half of the Jobs to Be Done interview conducted by Bob Mesta with industry attendee Matt Raglan, onboarding lead at ConvertKit.
This call is being recorded.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Mike Belsito here.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Bob. I'm all right. How are you?
Good. All right. So we're going to talk to Matt.
We are going to talk to Matt, and he was a first-time attendee this past year.
All right. So we'll do about 45 minutes to an hour with him, and then we'll hang up at when he's done, and then we'll call back in, and we'll have a second call that will debrief the pushes and the pulls and the anxiety habits and the timeline.
All right. Sounds good. And I'll mostly just be – I'm going to put myself on mute pretty much when he joins. Is that
– Well, and every once in a while, I'll ask you if you have any questions. You can feel free to chime in. And then we'll go from there, but I'll try to leave some openings for you.
Hello.
Hey, is that Matt?
Yes, it is. Mike?
Hey, yes, it's Mike here, and Bob's with us as well.
Hey, Matt. Hello. How are you? Nice to meet
good.
You.
How are you?
Good.
Nice to meet you too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to both of you as well.
Good. So thank you for taking the time. We're doing what I would say is early research to get the language, basically, on why people attend industry, right? So we're going to end up doing a survey later. But I want to more or less figure out the job you hired this conference for. You up for that?
Right. I'm up for it. Let's do it.
All right. So the setup is pretty much the same. It's like we're looking for language. We're trying to basically make sure we understand what you mean. And the best way to think about it is I almost want to shoot the documentary about kind of how you found industry, how you decided that was the conference, and then how well did it kind of meet those expectations. And then if we have some extra time, we might talk about some other conferences you've been to.
Sounds great.
Perfect. So let's start with just set the scene for me. Give me a little bit of your background, where you work, what you do, and then we'll just kind of let the conversation flow from there.
Great. So I work at ConvertKit. It's an email marketing platform for creators, and similar to MailChimp, Aweber, Infusionsoft. And so what the role that I've had here is on the customer success team, and I've been with ConvertKit for a little over 2 years now. And I've been doing more and more on the customer research side, and I wanted to continue to develop my skills and also connections and resources around product management, product design, so that I would have a better skill set to be able to take customer interactions and research and take the next step and be able to have a bigger role in implementing them into the product. That was a lot of my kind of initial thinking around looking for the conference.
Got it. Okay. How long have you been with ConvertKit?
A little over 2 years. So I started.
But where were you before?
Sorry. Gotcha. I was doing some contract work with a couple other startups, 3-4 months at a time, and really before even ConvertKit, I had been applying for tech jobs for a little over a year and had been, like I said, supporting myself with contract work. So that was what I was doing before. And most of the contract work was around like copywriting customer education, like filling out people's knowledge bases, doing onboarding and education videos, things like that.
Okay. And where are you in the world?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
In Nashville. Have you always been in Nashville?
No, we moved to Nashville in 2013.
2013. Okay. And we is you and your wife?
Yes, my wife and I.
Yeah. Kids yet?
We have a 2-year-old boy.
All right. Life is busy. I know that. I have 4, it so it's very busy.
Yeah. All right. I'm the oldest of 5, so get the busy.
I'm the youngest of 4, so like I'll say I'd rather be the youngest than the oldest. The oldest always cuts his teeth on everything. That's it. The youngest gets away with murder. So, all right. So when did you first hear about industry? Do you remember?
Yes, I did. It was on a podcast. Mike was a guest on a podcast.
Which podcast?
I believe, and I can circle back and double check, but I believe it was This Is Product Management.
Okay. And do you listen to that one regularly?
Intermittently so. I haven't listened to it in a little while, but okay. At the time I was really trying to get as much information as I can about the job, about the role.
Right. Do you remember when that was about? Was that in the summer?
It was over the summer. Late spring, early summer, May or June.
Okay. And this is going to seem strange, but where were you in the car? Were you working out or were you at your desk?
I was most likely in the car. At that time, I was hustling my son back and forth to daycare a good bit. My wife's a nurse, and so on the days that she did work, I would take him there and back. And so the daycare was about 20 minutes away, so I could get a pretty good podcast in.
Get a podcast in. And was this one of those things where you heard it and it's like, oh, I got to write that down or I got to remember that? Or was it like, hey, that would be a good idea. Let me, you know, like, can you almost shoot the scene of you hearing it and then thinking about it? As best you can remember.
Yeah, I was in the car. Like I said, most likely I could have also been on a walk. But you know, probably not at my desk and probably not working out, but I was in the car and just I needed a conference to attend every year. That's one of the continuing education things we have at ConvertKit, which is nice. Get to go to a conference each year. And I wanted my conference, I was already in the mindset of like, I wanted my conference to be one that would help me kind of level up my skills and knowledge in the tech industry. The year before I had just gone to like a fun conference, and I can talk more about that later, but I wanted, like I said, this one. So when I heard product and I saw that Jason Fried was going to be, I just made a mental note of it. And then when I was back in my computer or done driving, I just looked up the website, saw the speaker profiles, and saw that Jason Fried was speaking and that you also were speaking and leading a workshop, actually, because I'd been studying Jobs to Be Done. And so when I saw both of those, when I heard about it and I saw you and Jason were speaking, I began the process of signing up.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rain was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. Now, back to the show.
Not right away. I still needed to talk with my direct about it. But that was the first step for me.
Right, but you one is you had a slot that you had to fill. You had a conference you could go to in 2017. And where did you go last year, the 2016?
I went to one in Portland called the World Domination Summit, and it was more, just to paint you a little bit more of a picture there, we're a remote company. And at that point when I signed up for WDS, I knew a lot of our customers were going to be there and also a lot of our employees that I'd been with the company 6-7 months and had not met really any of them in person. And so that was, I hired World Domination Summit really as like just a relationship building conference.
Well, it was your first, you know, you're just new with the company. You can at least put names with faces, spend some time with them, hang out, that kind of stuff. But as this time came around, it's like, you know, I need to, you said, level up my skills. Knowledge around product management. What does that mean, level up? I'm not sure I'm familiar with the term.
Sure. Yeah, to me, you know, one of the things that I've kind of gotten consistent feedback about from ConvertKit and then in some other roles, but especially at ConvertKit as like my first extended full-time job in tech is that, Matt, you're great with relationships. You're great working with the customers directly. We'd like to see you have more skills around the technical aspect of your job, that's managing projects, taking the lead and ownership on different tests and experiments that you want to run, being able to like communicate with the engineers better, and understanding the data behind what's important to your role. And so I started looking for, and to me, when I heard that, and you know, after asking some questions of my directs as well, to me that sounded a lot like what a project manager does. And so that's when I started looking for, and this was just to kind of throw it back even a couple of years before that. I had actually interviewed for a product manager role at a company called Backcountry.com in Salt Lake City in 2012. And I did not get that job, but that's what really sparked my interest in the role. And I've been on and off pursuing it.
Yes. Again, sorry, I'm going to interrupt just because I don't want you to move too far ahead without me kind of making sure I unpack.
Right.
So is that really kind of where you were headed in that you took the initial kind of customer success job, knowing that, hey, if I get in here, I can maybe get over to the product management project management side. But is that where you wanted to be, or did you really like customer service, and this was more about extending customer service or customer success?
No, that's a great question. And to me, yes, I've been bearing towards product and project management since that time. And
since
backcountry in 2012. And to me, customer success, customer support was something that I was already good at and could do. So to me, it was a foot in the door.
So do you remember when you got this feedback around kind of having more skills on the technical side? Do you remember when you got that performance review?
It was spring of 2017.
Were you expecting it, or was it like, holy crap, what are they saying? Like, were you surprised by it? Were you caught off guard with it, or was it like, yeah, I know that, but now they're going to help me with it? I mean, what was that like when you heard it?
Yeah, it was something that I wasn't surprised to hear. And in some ways I was glad to hear it, but it was also that, like, okay, you know, how can we get there together? And is this something that you, like, the thing that I want to do in terms of products and projects at the company, is this something that you see me doing as well? Or am I expending a lot of personal energy to do something that you don't really see me as a fit for? And so in some ways it was a tough feedback session, but we also came out of it like, okay, now we're both on the same page.
And it's one of those things you would prefer to figure it out yourself, but at the same time, when they say it, it's kind of like it's on the table and you got to be like, all right, now I really got to do something about this.
Right.
Got it. Okay. And was there a plan put in place, or was it kind of left like, you know, well, you got to improve these things. What are you going to do? Or just over the next 12 months, you got to work on this.
The plan was really left up to me to figure out and then get feedback on.
But they didn't suggest a place to go. They didn't give you like, hey, you should take this class or these set of classes, or, you know, boy, you should, because again, you're remote. So it's, you know, if you've got any downtime, it's like, you know, but they had no suggestion for anything.
Not really. The only thing that we did talk about, and this is kind of a shared, I hesitate to even call it an initiative, because that makes it sound even more organized than it was. we do have a membership with a kind of coding school called Treehouse.
Yeah.
And really the extent of it was, why don't you look into Treehouse and see what would be useful? And so I did jump into Treehouse and start going through their like data science visualization tracks, mostly beginning just with learning SQL.
Yep. So in this case, this was you diving into the technical stuff, but it wasn't really necessarily getting you the product management and project management stuff. It was just more the technical foundations that Treehouse offered.
Right.
Got it. All right, so now I want to go back in, so that's April. If I go sometime in the summer, you hear the podcast with Mike, and what the heck did Mike say that kind of made it, you said a little bit about the people, but like, I need to unpack that a little bit more. What were you envisioning, like, who are these people? And, you know, I know I'm one of them, but it's like, what's in your head? I'm trying to get like, you know, why is Jason of interest in this situation? Because I would have never considered Jason a product manager, but maybe he is.
Right. Yeah. You know, part of it with Jason is his book Rework was one of the really early ones that I read about working in tech and software and just kind of a different way of doing work. And so hearing Jason was, to me, also just probably not even fully related to product management, but just wanting to hear Jason speak and do kind of a Q&A fireside session. That was a big draw.
This is where I want to make sure we have the right almost frame around this, which is like you're in the car or you're walking, right? And you're like, you hear Mike talk, he says, oh yeah, Jason Fried's going to be there and he's going to talk about, like, what was it that you said, boy, I can learn? Like, is it just that he's the author and have you used Basecamp, or is it just one of those, like, what, like, because at some point you didn't know the format, right? You didn't know it was going to be a fireside talk.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's true. We do use Basecamp at ConvertKit. To me, the draw with Jason is that we take a lot of cues, maybe sometimes too many cues, from Basecamp and how they operate as a business. And so I just wanted to hear Jason talk about really whatever. There wasn't really a frame. Like, I just wanted to hear him, kind of talk about how he thinks about business and projects and, just work in general. Yeah. Even though I've probably read something about anything that he said on stage, but yeah, there's just something about hearing it live, being in the room.
Yep. And so the other thing you said you've been, had you started using or thinking about or reading about Jobs Be Done at that point as well?
I had, yes.
So, and where did you, like, so how did you know me? That's a really weird question, by the way.
Yeah, sure. So we also use Intercom at ConvertKit. And so, of course, they have, they've talked about you a lot. There's a couple other people that I follow, a couple of ConvertKit customers. One, his name is Justin Jackson, and he's a friend.
Yeah.
And he talks about Jobs to Be Done. And so, yeah, between Intercom, I read their book on Jobs to Be Done. Also, now at ConvertKit, I manage our onboarding process. So I had been thinking a lot about, when people are coming into ConvertKit, we're onboarding them, how can we communicate the job? How can we understand and communicate the job that they are hiring it for? So that's where I'd say between Justin and also another, I mean, I know Basecamp uses Ryan Singer, talks about Jobs to Be Done a lot. And then at High Rise, one of the, I guess, spinoffs of Basecamp, Nate had been talking about it a lot at that point too.
Got it. So in that case, the wagons were circling and that kind of, so this is where you heard it. And then you went back either that week, sometime. Like, when did you start to think about, I need to go to this conference? When did you go to the website?
I'd say within, if not that day, then definitely within that week. Because I was looking for something that would fit into our calendar. Especially with my wife working full time as well, needed to just look at the dates. So I probably did that very quickly, probably the same day, even though I don't remember specifically.
Can you explain fit into my calendar, just to unpack that a little bit more for me?
Sure.
Is that for work or for, is that for home?
Work and home, but I would say mostly for home, because at this point it was 3 or 4 months away. And I just needed to make sure that it wasn't overlapping with any family trips or events that we had. I could give my wife plenty of notice on, like, hey, I need you to not work these days so that I can go to the conference. And the other thing is that even though I don't travel a lot for ConvertKit, I tend to travel a little bit more in the fall. And so I just needed to make sure I didn't have any work trips around that time.
Did you look for any other conferences? Was there any other, did you think about going back to World Domination Summit or anything like that?
I did, but like I said, that's more of just a have fun relationship building conference. And though I did really miss that aspect of it, I didn't seriously consider it last year.
And it was almost an explicit trade-off of, I can go hang with people in the company, but I talked to him enough and I met him last year. I really need to work on this part because of my feedback in April.
Right.
That's right. And was there any other conferences that you looked at? Was it like Business of Software or Mind the Product or any of the other kind of product stuff?
I did. I looked at Mind the Product. Okay. I looked at Mind the Product. I think there's one called the Product Management Festival.
Okay.
I know it's out in Switzerland, and even though that sounded really fun, I knew that I wasn't going to get
a little too far. Yeah. What did you see at Mind the Product that would be like, okay, this is a fit, or no, this isn't good enough?
From my recollection, and this may or may not be true, but I remember thinking this seems a little too short. I think it's only a day, maybe a day and a half. And I wanted more time, more immersion, in like any of the tracks. And also, like I said, with, Jason and yourself, and also the ability to, this was another thing, the ability to, I came to your Jobs to be Done workshop. And that was another thing that I had been looking at, attending, by itself, like even outside of the product, this product conference. And so I was like, okay, kill two birds with one stone. But yeah, with Mind the Product, it just kind of seemed like, okay, it's going to be, I think, $1,000 for a day and a half plus flying to San Francisco. I feel like there might've been a date conflict as well, but Nashville to Cleveland is such an easy flight. There was the workshop. It just made a lot more sense in terms of the money, the time, and all of it.
Yeah. And what is who's your boss? Your direct? What's his or her name?
So his name is Matt.
First
Newbill. Matt as well.
All right. So Matt. So what did Matt say when you said, hey, I want to go to this conference? Or did you bring all three to the table and then explain why you wanted to go to Cleveland, or just say, hey, I want to go to Cleveland?
I pretty much just said, hey, I want to go to Cleveland. I did say, like, here's why. And for those reasons, I said, it's close, so I won't have to spend like an extra, basically like an extra total day flying back and forth. I can... an hour, it's a quick flight. I also it's a little bit cheaper than these other ones. It'll help me get better at understanding and managing the products and projects. And then we had been, I had been already trying to work on and implement some of the Jobs to be Done framework. And so that was your workshop was another piece of the pitch. And then just saying like, hey, and Jason Fried's going to be there too. I'd love to hear him. I'd love to hear him speak since we
Matt want to go as well?
He didn't. He's not a big conference guy, actually. He didn't go to any conferences last year.
Did he think that it would be useful for you?
He had some mixed feelings initially. But I'll kind of hedge that by saying he almost always brings up something a little conflicting just to make sure that it's something that we really find valuable and not just like, hey, I want to go do this. He's always asking why.
Well, you couldn't just show up and say, hey, I wanted to go. World domination, they were kind of still new. You still had to get out of jail free card. And it was like, hey, I hadn't met anybody. I'm going to go because everybody else is going. He probably said, okay.
Right.
But this one, you have to justify kind of why you're going and what you're doing. And what were his kind of, what was the devil's advocate role he played? Like, what did he say? Like, yeah, but did he have any of that kind of role? Or was it just like he wasn't against it, but he wasn't necessarily for it either?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. But the pushback that he had was, he's like, I'm surprised that you didn't look for something that's more specific to user onboarding, which my pushback on that is, well, I can't find it. I looked, I didn't find any conferences that are specifically about user onboarding, because user onboarding is normally just a part of the product, the design, like just the software itself. It was like, now I did, there is a guy who does user onboarding workshops. His name is Samuel Hulick. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but he runs useronboard.com, and he does intermittent workshops. I told Matt that I was personally unsure how valuable that would be, because it's 3 to 4 times the cost of, I think it's $2,500 a seat just for the day. And it's usually in San Francisco. I was like, this is, you know, we're still a startup, and I'd rather just spend, you know, $1,500 overall for everything instead of like $2,500 just to get in the room.
Yep. Got it. And
he didn't have any, and Samuel didn't have any scheduled. So that was another.
Yeah. Okay.
That made it
easier. And did Matt give you kind of the review on kind of having the feedback that you had, or was he not your manager at that time?
It was, he gave that to me along with the founder. I joined the company before other Matt did, and so the founder hired me directly, and so they had both given me that feedback.
Got it. And so the founder is the one who kind of said, hey, you need to have a little bit more technical skills. We'd like to see you get in the project management space. But Matt was more like, hey, you know, you're in customer success. You should be, you know, kind of on the onboarding. You know, why aren't you going somewhere there? So he was kind of protecting his turf as it relates to that, though the founder was more thinking about kind of broader spectrum for you.
Yes, in a way.
That might be too strong. If it's too strong, just back it off. I'm just trying to make sure
just on that story side. Nathan is the founder. Barry. Nathan was still very much on the side of me focusing on onboarding, the customer cycle in that space, but also saying like, you need to do better at understanding the technical data behind what powers this, and being able to like create, formulate, and measure your own like projects and processes without needing so much feedback from us.
Got it. That helps.
All right, we're going to cut things off here for now, but in the next episode, you're going to hear the rest of the interview. If you want to find out more about rocketship.fm, go to rocketship.fm. It's pretty simple, right? Make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss future episodes in this series. And if you like today's episode, tell a friend.
Or two friends, or a lot of friends. We would love it if you would spread the word.
You can sign up for our newsletter. We have partnered with Product Collective, Mike Delcito's company, to bring you even more content each week. So if you sign up for the newsletter, you're going to get content from Rocketship FM. You're also going to get detailed product content from Product Collective, which is incredibly valuable. And as entrepreneurs, it's one of the most important topics for us to stay up on. So go to rocketship.fm and sign up for our newsletter. If you enjoy this content, leave us a quick review, or tell a friend, or share the link on Twitter. Anything helps to get the word out about the show. We really appreciate it. We'll be right back here in just a couple of days.